Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Ifis third quarter 2019 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Luciano Colombini, CEO of Banca Ifis. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Today, the board of directors has approved the third quarter results. Before going to the results, I would like to update you on the main measurement initiatives. We are working on the industrial plan to be presented in mid-January, which will be focused on three main pillars: becoming the reference partner for SMEs with a dedicated service model and a full range of products. Second, preserving leadership in unsecured NPLs, broadening servicing and purchasing skills to other NPLs classes, while maintaining control of Ifis NPL and FBS, now fully owned. Third, capital strengthening and maintaining strong liquidity position. We will present our NPL strategy in the business plan. In the next six, 8 months, our first priority is to streamline the recovery of secured and unsecured NPL. We have acquired the 10% minority share in FBS to speed up the integration with FBS. We want to fully integrate FBS and achieve synergies, leveraging on complementary know-how of Banca Ifis, which is specialized in unsecured NPL, and FBS, which is specialized in secured NPLs. Once we have completed the full integration of FBS, we will look for potential acquisition, partnership, or agreements for specific transactions with specialized services and/or potential hiring of professionals in order to broaden our NPL skills into medium-large corporate and bankruptcy procedures. Just a few words on the potential transaction between us and Credito Fondiario. The transactions between servicer and investor are quite complex, as you need to find agreement on strategy, governance, servicing, and shareholder structure. During negotiation, we could not reach an agreement with Fondspa due to difficulties in defining a satisfactory agreement for both parties, especially on governance. The other key priority, as we anticipated in our first quarter conference call, is capital strengthening. In third quarter 2019, the CET1 reached 11.1%, +0.80% up versus fourth quarter 2018 result, and +0.30% versus previous quarter. This level has been achieved by organic capital generation, does not include the third quarter 2019 net income, and is well above the 8.12% SLEP requirement. In addition, we expect a capital gain from the disposal of our non-core real estate in Milan, for which we have already received binding offers. We estimate the completion of the transaction in fourth quarter of this year or in the first quarter of next year. The disposal is an industrial rationale. We currently occupy about 8,000 square meters for just 300 employees, and it is not efficient in terms of costs. With the disposal of one real estate in Milan, we will realize a capital gain and achieve cost savings. In terms of funding, customer deposit reached 5.3 billion euros, confirming Banca Ifis' strong capital and liquidity ratios and ability to attract especially retail clients. I will not hand over Martino, who will describe the details of our results in detail.
First of all, thanks Luciano, and good evening to everyone. So let's focus on third quarter net income. The net income came in at 16 million euros, which is impacted by seasonality in non-performing and some physiological decline in the purchase price allocation. There is limited room for maneuvering to smooth out these effects over the quarters. You can see these effects if you go to page 5, we have just summarized these ones. And as you can see, the net interest income, we tend to do on average 16, 17 million net interest income in a non-performing unit per month. While in August, due to the shutting down of the courts, we tend to do 5 to 6 million euros. So usually the third quarter is the weakest one of the year. Then you have the write-back of the PPA. The write-back of the PPA this quarter came in at 10 million euros, while in the previous quarter was 21. And in the third quarter of 2018 was 17 million. And this is variable by nature because depends on the prepayment disposal of the former Interbanca customer loans or former Interbanca non-performing loans. And then there are the capital gains from real estate disposals. This one are quite variable, are the disposal of the non-performing that we have already worked out and that we sell to specialized operators. As you can see on page 5, in Q2 we reported capital gain of 8 million euros. And in the third quarter, we didn't perform any disposal, so they were zero. And these are quite volatile. Really depends on the appetite that we find on the market, on how much we go into the market for this type of portfolios. So there is some volatility. You have to look more at several quarters rather than a single quarter in terms of net income. If you look at the third quarter net banking income, so they came in at 112 million euros, 37% non-performing business, 39% trade receivable, 12% leasing, and 12% corporate and others. The operating costs came in at 74 million euros, which is 10 million higher than the previous quarter, but the previous quarter was impacted by some one-offs due to the closing of a tax proceeding of former Interbanca, which, by the way, did not have any impact on the net income. But on the other hand, the operating costs are stable versus the first quarter 2019. And the cost of risk is a positive news. It came out at 14 million euros versus the 22 million of the second quarter results. So the loan loss provisions was about 100 bps. And in enterprise segment, and it's showing some normalization. Of course, 100 bps is tend to be higher compared to other Italian banks, but you have to consider that we operate in very small, medium enterprises, so we tend to have higher margins. If you reach higher margins, then it's normal that you have a slightly higher cost of risk. Customer loans at 7.1 billion euros. Trade receivables, so factoring, was down around 300 million as some large transactions with limited revenue contribution were not pursued in this quarter. Non-performing are stable quarter on quarter due to limited non-performing loans acquisition. There were very limited disposal on the market, so we didn't, we didn't do any acquisition. On the other hand, there are several transactions coming in this quarter. We are looking at all of them. We are speaking about something like 4 billion euros transaction. We are looking in terms of gross book value for sure. And we are looking at all of them. We will buy, but we will be disciplined on price. Price is the first thing for us. So then let's move quickly on page 8 and 9. In page 9, we just summarize the strategy that we will present in our business plan in our non-performing business. So as you see, the non-performing is quite complex, and that's something that we have already discussed in the non-performing meeting that we had in September for the one that attended. So there are a lot of operators, banks, companies, services, investors, regulator impacting this market. In this market, we have a particular position. We are an investor and we are a servicer. So we are an investor with a very strong performing servicer inside. We are leader in a secure non-performing. What we want to do is strengthening servicing, accelerated integration of FBS. We have recently acquired 10%. And as you see in page 9, which describes our short-term strategy, you see the first month, then in the next, let's say, 6-12 months, we'll focus on consolidating this. We have complementary business. We are focused on secure. FBS is focused on small / secure corporate. So we have a complementary business. We leverage on the know-how of this both party, integrating them together. And then we'll try to growth while maintaining control. And this, medium corporate, large corporate, bankruptcy procedures, for all these segments, there are a lot of options we can do. We can either make acquisition of small servicing, hiring teams. We can make some specific agreements for some transactions. So let's say that we look what is in the market, and acting for now as a consolidator. I would like to stress then, if you move to page 12 and 13, just to stress the other 2 points of our business, which are quite strong. For trade receivables, we had a decrease in the turnover in the customer loans. If you see, about 200-300 million, with limited impact on revenues. So net banking income was stable at 43 million, while, let's say, the net banking income divided average customer loans went up to 5.1. And this was one of the drivers that the CEO described that led the increase in the CET1 in the previous quarter. This shows also the flexibility of our business. Just we could made 30 bps in terms of CET1, just simply not pursuing some large transactions, which, by the way, did not show a very strong revenue contribution. Leasing is a very stable business. As you see, net banking income, stable, asset quality, let's say stable 3-4 million per quarter. So for this, is a part of our business which is performing well. And on page 14, we wanted to show that, we made very limited in terms of acquisition. We made just, 0.2 billion euros. But we are looking at all the transactions in the market. These transactions are expected to be closed in fourth quarter or in first quarter 2020. We look at all of them. Our market share, we are market leader in the unsecured, non-performing, especially in the unsecured small ticket, we are definitely market leader. And if you look, we recover. We recover above our model. Every quarter we recover, and you can see on page 16, above our model, and we have cash in. We have, in this quarter, the cash collection came in at 59 million euros. And so it's a constant rate and a constant increase where you see, cash collection in the first 9 months of 2019 are up 45% compared to the 9 months of 2018. ERC, 2.4 billion euros, of which 1.4 in the first 5 years. Just a point. This is based on numbers and experience. Since 2014, we have cashed in something like 0.9 billion euros. So we have a proved track record and constant delivery in collection. I'll hand over to my CEO for the conclusion.
Okay, thank you, Martino. In conclusion, we are working on the business plan to be presented in mid-January, and I must say that we are a little bit late, but we had to manage the potential deal with Fospa in last 2 months. CET1 of 11.1%, which does not include the third quarter net income. And in conclusion, we expect 2019 net income target around our guidance provided on February of this year, subject to the inclusion of the capital gain on the disposal of the real estate in Milan in the last quarter of this year. Thank you.
We open to Q&A.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a few questions. The first one is on NPL division. You said at the beginning of the conference call that the deal didn't go through because there were some problems in terms of governance and so on. So if you can just clarify from now on, so you said the business plan will be focused also on NPL, just a clarification of how crucial is the NPL business for Banca IFIS. Second question still on NPL, slide 17. I see a decrease quarter on quarter in terms of cash collection compared to previous years. So I don't know if there is any specific reason of this decrease Q on Q. The first question is on capital. 11.1% is for sure better than the 10.8, and I would expect a further increase in the fourth quarter or beginning of 2020 thanks to real estate disposal. I was wondering what will be the goal for you going to the new business plan, a sort of deleverage rationalization, trying to strengthening the capital ratio first, and then looking at revenues later on, or do you think that the current capital position is adequate to support revenues growth going forward? And finally, on the guidance you gave, it's clear that is a little bit different from the previous one because you are including the expected capital gain on real estate, but it is normal because the interest rate condition and also market condition are different from a few months ago. So I was wondering going forward, what should we expect in terms of normalized earnings looking at 2019 as a starting point? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Christian. I'll try and run through all your questions, and of course, if there is any follow-up, please do not hesitate to do it. Non-performing loan division, yes, it is core for us, and we definitely we want to invest. We pursue for a potential agreement, and we couldn't find a transaction. An agreement with the parties, but as you know, this type of transaction are quite complex. So because they include governance, servicing, strategy, and of two different parties, where it's not just a simple transaction between two servicer, is a transaction where there are an investor which has a servicer, and so it's this which is Banca IFIS. And eventually, mainly on governance, we could not find an agreement. For sure, let's say we have several options. We have a very strong know-how in this sector. And with FBS, we have recently, immediately acquired 10% in order to proceed with the integration and to achieve the synergies. You know, a point is that the market is moving quickly. We have to move quickly as well, So probably, yes, some of the synergies that we wanted to achieve in integration or in other segments in non-performing were slightly, let's say, longer than expected, but we reacted quickly, immediately. Acquisition of FBS, full integration, and move forward. The impact on the net interest income, yes, we have, but it's somehow mitigated compared with other banks. Why? Because we act on factoring. First, factoring has two components, net interest income and commission. So, yes, there is a pressure on net interest income. But in our client, which is a very small client, is not so strong. Because for us, we tend to, you know, our client are very small enterprises, so there is not such sensitivity in terms of price. There is for sure. But there is a, where we see the strongest competition is on medium-large client top ranking. There, the competition is definitely strong. All the rating model push in that direction. And we have a different business model, luckily for us, which mitigates this impact. In terms of capital, 11.1, you know, is let's say, a better point than we were before. I cannot make any disclosure on the business plan for sure. You know, we are still working on that. But, you know, we know that is a priority. We definitely look at that. And we want to we show just that, just not pursuing some transaction in factoring, we achieve 30 bps and some transaction in factoring, reperforming better our, let's say, some ERGO optimization on our security portfolio. Just, you know, we achieve 30 bps more. And without including net income. FBS, already the impact, the 12 million, mostly is already impact, is already included in our CET1. So, you know, we look at that. We know this is a priority for the market. I cannot make any disclosure of the target of the business plan yet. And also, I cannot make any disclosure on normalized earnings future. We want to see the business plan. We are working on that. We will deliver in mid-January. And there, I think we will provide a full detail.
But do you expect, if I may, the fact that you are going to make a higher selection in terms of factoring, maybe to be a little bit more choosy, will have a negative impact on net interest income in the coming quarter? For example, we know that the fourth quarter there is a positive seasonality for factoring. Do you expect a slowdown by the end of the year compared to the previous years?
We were just a bit more disciplined this year, but for sure, you know, there is seasonality. We look at that, and if this is opportunistic, I don't think that we will pursue this opportunity with a bit more opportunistic approach. But for sure, in the fourth quarter, will be. You should expect a pickup in leasing and in factoring. It's just you know, you simply don't take a few large transactions, and that is the impact. But it's not a change in our business model.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Lisi of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for the call. Well, the first question on interest rate was pretty answered before. In particular, another point I was focusing on was if, given your improved capital position and the challenging environment, do you think if to compensate, to offset the pressure on margin, there is room also to increase volumes, both in terms of loans and turnover, and which is your commercial effort? But I don't know if maybe you have already answered it, saying that you are a bit more selective, but if you can provide also a bit more color on that. Then if you can remind us whether in the fourth quarter there is the possibility to recover fully the fact that in the NPL the court were closed, and so if it is reasonable to see a strong recovery in the last quarter. And another question is on the ratio between the cash collection NPL and the NPL contribution. We see if I made a comparison among the third quarter in 2017, 2018, and 2019, I always see that this ratio improved over time, and I want to ask you if it is only the effect of efficiencies or if there is something else I don't see. And the last point is that I see an increase in the NP ratio from 9.5 to 10.1. And I want to ask you if it is, which is a level to which you are confident. Is it a level with which you are confident, or do you think there is the need to maybe reduce it further? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your question. In terms of, let's start from the last one. In terms of gross non-performing exposure, gross loans, yes, it increased 10.1%. Let's say it's not so material for us. We monitor that very carefully, and we will address this question in the business plan. But for sure, it's one of our, let's say, capital, liquidity, asset quality, of course, are the main drivers. In terms of cash collection, net banking income contribution, I don't know if you look at page 17. You have to remind that we put these two lines, but the cash collection do not really match with the contribution to P&L, to the same, let's say, class of non-performing. We put this just to provide, let's say, a representation. For sure, the contribution to P&L is lower due to the fact that we have, let's say, the shutting down of the court in August. That's the main reason. That's why the contribution in P&L in the third quarter is usually lower compared to the others. And also the cash collection, remind that there is, in August, also the voluntary and, let's say, the extrajudicial activity proceeds much lower piece. In terms of contribution to of factoring and leasing, this quarter we were just a bit more opportunistic. This does not represent a change in the strategy. For this quarter, we acted in this way. Then we will look at the return, and we will decide if it is convenient for us to go for the transaction or not. But for sure, we expect a pickup in factoring and lending and in leasing in the coming quarters. And of course, but please, when you look at our capital, at our liquidity, et cetera, consider also the speed and how we can adjust our due to our flexible business model. We can adjust very quickly, depending if you are opportunistic, if you want to push a bit farther in the customer loan or not, if you have excess of liquidity, if you retain to be excess of capital, et cetera. So we are quite flexible in terms of that.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Simonetta Chiriotti of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for the detailed presentation that is extremely useful considering the number of segments in which the bank operates. I have a question, a general question on NPL. I'm referring to page 9. In the box at the bottom of the page, you say that you will go on examining potential acquisition partnership and agreements with the servicers, and you don't mention you don't mention other investors like the case of Credito Fondiario. So I'm wondering if this is what we should expect going forward. And the second question in the part where you outline future growth strategies, you mentioned new and different asset classes like secured, corporate, and so on. These asset classes require higher capital investment invested. So, in terms of capital absorption, are different from retail unsecured. So I'm wondering how this type of strategy can be adopted, considering the level of capital that you have at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, and Colombini. I must say that we are talking about servicing, so there is not a question of capital in this. And now we are able to serve and to face a lot of asset class, except large corporate or large secured. So what we want to do is to buy, if possible, or to have a partnership with another player which has the correct skills in this asset class, but it doesn't mean that we invest in this asset class. Now we are talking about servicing. Very different. So there is not a problem of capital in servicing.
And just to add, of course, you know, we wanted to present several, you know, potential acquisition, partnership, agreement on specific transaction with specialized operator in this segment, or potential hiring of small teams experienced in this. Professional, of course, you know, the skill that a professional should have, the professional skill in unsecured retail are completely different from the professional skills in large corporate. Then,
yes.
One point that you are right that you look at capital, etc., but you have also to look at return. What for us is the most important thing is return and the time frame of cash collection. So, for this, let's say we want to remain flexible. We are opportunistic, but what we do in terms of acquisition, we acquire the portfolios for which we have the skills to manage and a competitive advantage. The servicing, yes, needs to be expanded because you know we show clearly that we are, let's say, in a segment where we need to integrate and streamline this service, this segment in the servicing and in the purchasing.
Yes, thank you. But I suppose that if you expand servicing activities in corporate secured, it is because you want to invest in this asset class. Am I correct?
Let's see. We can also act as servicer. FPS is a servicer.
Doesn't invest.
They are opportunistic in investment. They have some portfolios. Yes, they buy. And you know, we want to do is be opportunistic. Also, FPS was a servicer, but sometimes they bought some cues of the portfolio or some small portfolios, and they recover. Then, of course, we'll present this, you know, will be more detailed in the business plan presentation.
Okay, thanks.
We want to describe, let's say, what we want to do now is show that we have, at least in the short term, in the long term, let's wait for the plan, clear strategy where to go.
Thank you.
The next question is from Manuela Meroni of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Some questions on my side. The first one is on the NPL business. If I look at the net interest income of NPL business in the third quarter, for sure it is lower compared to the second quarter due to the seasonality, but it is even lower compared with the third quarter 2018. So I'm wondering if you can provide us with some color on the decline of net interest income of NPL business in the quarter year on year. Again, on non-performing loans business, you made a few acquisitions in this quarter. The pipeline is quite rich, so I'm wondering if you can share with us if you have some targets in terms of acquisition within the end of the year or the beginning of next year. Third question again on non-performing loans. Usually in the last quarter of the year, you made some disposal, so you can have some capital gains. So I'm wondering if we can expect some capital gains in the fourth quarter of this year. Thank you.
First, on capital gains, I would like to stress that we also in this segment, we are opportunistic. We have probably, even if you don't see these ones, because maybe we don't find an agreement, we approach proactively to dispose some queues, some tails of our portfolios. For sure, sometimes this transaction goes through, or sometimes they say we are analyzing some of them, sometimes goes through, sometimes not. And when we dispose, usually we tend to do a capital gains because, let's say, up to now, it seems to be quite prudent in the valuation of our portfolios. In terms of net interest income, there are several impacts, and this is due to the fact that we constantly update our model. Okay? In the first 9 months of 2019, in 2018, in the first quarter, we just update our model and we increase the valuation of the judicial non-performing step by step, you know, from precetto, pignoramento to ODA. And this, of course, realized an increase in net interest income, a higher net increase in net interest income in 2018. Then there is also another impact, which is the fact that the courts are becoming slightly longer in processing our non-performing. So even 3-4 months, discount at 20%, because we discount at 15, 20, 25, you know, it's a very high rate at which we discount, has a material impact. And that's why you see that our net banking income is even slightly lower, but we don't have an impact on future cash flow. It's just a matter of higher, of longer time frame, slightly longer time frame. Just a few months may have an impact. I don't know if I was clear on that because it's a bit complex, but it's just an update on our model which constantly reflect and update our assumptions. For you, eventually, maybe that our cash collection tend to be much more closer than the net interest income.
Thank you. And on NPL acquisitions?
But NPL acquisition is the same. We look at the portfolios. We are on all transactions that are on the market. We are currently looking at portfolios that are between higher than 4 billion euros in terms of gross book value. We look at all of them, but we are disciplined on price. Sometimes you have some new entrants or some players who are very aggressive on price. We have to look at our return. So sometimes, if our returns are not matched or our pricing, we don't pursue the transaction. Of course, the secondary, this is in the first, in the primary market, then in the secondary market, we expect more activity and we compete also in the secondary market.
Thank you.
Don't expect that we buy, you know, that we are looking at 4 billion transaction, but don't expect that we buy 4 billion in the last quarter. We can buy an amount depending on the price, a fraction of that, just to be clear. Sorry.
Yes, that's clear.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, everybody, and see you for the presentation of our business plan.
Of course, if any of you has questions, we are more than happy to organize follow-up calls or meeting with myself or the CEO or other management of the bank. Thank you very much for attending our call.